Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders, following all 82 games on NBC Sports Chicago this season. Assuming we ever get the rest of those 82 games back at some point. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. And you can find us at Locked On Bulls. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Shoot us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And of course, that text to voicemail line is always there for you. 331-979-1369. Leave us your texts, voicemails, anything and everything Bulls and NBA related. Going to get to some texts on that mailbag line later today. Jordan was having some internet issues, so I'm holding down the fort solo today. I feel like basically every internet company in the world is taking it in the teeth right now because everyone's working from home, everybody's streaming, everybody's gaming, and there isn't enough internet to go around. I know I've had some issues up here, still laying low up in Michigan with the family. Hope all of you out there are doing well, safe and healthy, and keeping yourselves entertained as we go through, God, I don't know what day this is in the long list of days without sports to keep us entertained. So, as I said, let's take some texts from that mailbag text and voicemail line and see what y'all are up to and what y'all want to know. Actually, let's start in our inbox on Facebook. Mike asks, have we considered someone in the Sixers for the GM job? Looking at their draft classes recently, and scouting has been impressive. Matisse Thybulle, Landry Shamet, just to name a few. Thanks for checking in, Mike. I haven't heard anything yet, specifically, as far as the Bulls and rumors about front office additions this offseason. Any names specifically that currently work in the Sixers organization. Of course, the top of that organization is former Bull and former first overall draft pick, Elton Brand. Who was promoted from VP of basketball operations to the general manager position back in September of 2018. He's been with the Sixers for a while, had a solid stretch of his playing career with Philly, and certainly has gotten kind of a mixed bag as far as his reviews of what he has done. I think probably more credit than criticism with some of the things that the Sixers have done well. Obviously, Bulls fans have been wondering a lot if they might be able to pry away one of the two big pieces they have in Philly right now, a.k.a. Simmons and Embiid, if those two were to fall short in their playoff run again this season, because maybe the Sixers are panicking and feel like they need to make a move. As far as prying away a piece of their front office, I highly doubt that the Bulls could get Elton Brand away from the Sixers right now. I think the Sixers are very keen on letting Brand see this through. As they have gone through this, you know, hashtag trust the process situation over the last few years as Elton Brand has been promoted. Mike mentioned a couple of the draft pieces that they've gotten recently since Brand has been promoted. Of course, the trade coming draft night 2019 with Boston that involved Thybulle with, I believe, I want to say Carson Edwards and Ty Jerome. I think those were the pieces involved in that trade. Thybulle's a nice piece. Like, I think he's gotten a little overhyped this season. I think he's going to be a fine role player in the NBA. I don't know that you should, you know, get a whole lot of praise for drafting him. I do really like Landry Shamet. That kid can play, and I think he's got a really bright future. And, you know, it happened before Brand's promotion. But the other thing that you have to think about when you're talking about, well, hey, look what the Sixers have done with their draft process and the draft evaluation in the last few years is they swung and missed hard on Markelle Fultz. I mean, that was a big gamble. They traded up to get him with the number one pick on draft night, and it backfired. Obviously, he was a solid-looking player his 1 year at the college level. Injury issues were kind of a question mark, certainly a risk attached, but they swung big and missed on that one. Certainly the Celtics came out looking like the winners, getting Jason Tatum, and doing so, trading down and collecting more assets in that trade. So, yeah, there have been some hits, but there have also been some misses. As I said, I don't think it's likely that they could pry away Elton Brand. A couple other names that are kind of being floated around as people who might be in line to make the big jump to be running their own organization sometime soon. Like the VP of scouting in Philly, Vince Rosman, is a name that I've heard a few times. So obviously he has been attached to some of their most recent draft picks. Their senior vice president of player personnel, Mark Eversley, is a name that I've heard a few times as well. But again, I haven't heard those names attached to the Bulls in their current theoretical search for a new voice in their front office, likely, as Mike, our friend on Facebook, pointed out, as the Bulls are searching for a new, what is assumed to be a new general manager this coming offseason, as they are going to slide Gar Forman out of that role. Thank God. Moving on, we have another one of our Facebook regulars checking in. It's Tiago, who hit us up with some nice insider info as an international listener, because Jordan and I were talking on a podcast earlier this week, a headline made by Bulls point guard Tomasz Satoranski, and some of his recent comments about how he wished the NBA would just declare that the regular season is over, and that if the league were to pick back up again, they would go right into the playoffs. Because guess what? That would officially mean the Bulls season is over, and Satoranski could go back home as opposed to waiting around in Chicago for a season that, for the Bulls, by all intents and purposes, is done. So our friend Tiago has an update for us and all of you, our listeners out there, when it comes to what's going on in Sato's home nation. Hey, guys, I heard the episode where you were wondering about Sato and his return to Czech. I live in Czechia. Right now, the country has closed borders, with exception to the return of natives or people with residence in Czech. So Sato would be able to return at any time. Regarding the situation in Czech, the country is in an emergency state, mandatory quarantine, and a lot of closed services that handle with general public, like bars, restaurants, and shops. Some people are working from home, but some people are still at the office. Fortunately, the situation seems under control. People are not in a panic, and there are just a couple of deaths already, mostly from older people, and a little under 1,000 total people infected. Thank you for keeping me company during the quarantine, and stay safe. Well, thanks for checking in, Tiago. Hope you and yours are safe and healthy as well. So there's some solid inside information about what's going on in Satoranski's home country. And sounds like, for the most part, things are okay. Obviously, the national state of emergency has also been declared here in the States as of, I think, probably a week ago now. And everybody's being very cautious. It is good to know that if and when the NBA tells everybody, hey, we're going to come back, but we're going to go right to the playoffs, that Sato would be able to go home and take a load off and have some semblance of an off season to check in with his family and friends overseas. I certainly feel for him and all of the international players in the NBA and other professional leagues here in the States who can't go home because their leagues are just kind of on an indefinite pause right now. Certainly an unfortunate situation. And you feel for Sato because the Bull season is over. It seems completely pointless and not worth any non-zero amount of risk for the NBA to play unnecessary regular season games. It would obviously be a bummer for those teams, notably in the Western Conference, who are just on the outside of the playoff picture looking in, to rob them of their last gasp attempt to jump into the playoff picture and not have that opportunity with maybe, going on a late regular season run when the league picks back up. But as far as the Bulls are concerned, I don't know. I lost count. How many games back of the 8th seed were they when they went on pause a couple weeks ago? 8? 9? Bulls weren't making the playoffs if the season were to come back. So thanks for checking in, Tiago, and thanks for giving us the update. Hope everybody out there in check is hanging in there. Now for a quick word from one of our sponsors, let me tell you about one of my new favorite ultimate life hacks. It's hard to find time to sit down and read and learn more. When you don't have free time, you can't read or work on personal development. There is an incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or even your web browser. It takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information, from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people, business leaders, they're all well known for reading lots of books. Blinkist is made for busy people like you, like me, who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or while you exercise, or hey, while you're laying low because you don't want to get coronavirus. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health to history books. It's the latest titles from bestseller lists, as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read, but you never had the time to. And guess what? Right now is a perfect time to try this. If you've been thinking about a new reading app, a new way to, you know, get back into learning, we all have a little bit of extra downtime right now as we are hunkered down. A lot of us are working from home when we don't usually. A lot of us are trying to find ways to pass the time. And you can only play video games for so long until, you know, your thumbs get numb. You can only watch so many binged Netflix series before you get bored of it. So why not try Blinkist? Get yourself a book that you've been meaning to read, something that you've been meaning to ingest and add to your breadth of knowledge, and try it. Because Blinkist really is that great and that useful, and now is the perfect time as we're all looking for something to do. Why not take the time to educate yourself? With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our Locked On Bulls audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 20% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. All right, now let's get to some of those text messages. First up is our pal Luke from the 217. Okay, guys, so my COVID-19 fever dream is a March Madness-style tournament when the NBA inevitably returns. Single elimination tourney, the whole league has a chance at, but all the playoff teams get a bye, or maybe two. Once we get to the Elite Eight, it becomes a best-of-three series. Every team brings their very best, anything's possible, and potentially we get a bizarre champion to commemorate what has been a bizarre year. Can we imagine how many views this would get in the absence of all the other sports we're used to? Not necessarily saying it's likely, but my goodness, it would be fun. What are your thoughts? This is a cool idea. I had, you know, mentioned that one of our buddies at NBC Sports was talking about maybe doing like a double elimination tournament of some kind when the NBA playoffs come back. When Adam Silver talked to Rachel Nichols last Friday about the potential return of the NBA and how the season would conclude, he made it sound like they are open to any and all ideas of finding a way to have some resolution, have some kind of playoff, and crown a champion this season. And yes, it's going to be pushed back. You know, basically the latest I've heard is that late June, early July would be the absolute earliest that we could get NBA basketball back. And, you know, as a, you know, a correlation of maybe knowing what's going on with the Chinese Basketball Association and how that might inform how soon the NBA can come back, the CBA, like, the, you know, players that live in the States who are American citizens were on their, had already gone on their way back to China because they thought the Chinese league was going to resume. And they, at the last second, decided to push it back like at least another few weeks. So who knows? I think July is the most likely scenario, the most optimistic likely scenario. And if the NBA doesn't, in fact, want to let this one season that has this extended pause create an overflow of effect to completely changing its season schedule from here on out, as in the NBA goes to a league that starts in December and goes through August, as opposed to October to June, they're going to have to condense it somehow. And obviously that would start by chopping off the end of the regular season, but maybe doing a tourney like this, you know, in some NCAA kind of fashion could give you, yeah, an asterisk kind of champion, but maybe you open it up and would be fun. I mean, I'd love to see it. I think, you know, anything can happen. I think that's why people love March Madness so much, is you get the Cinderella stories. You get the upsets. You know, I've been seeing these videos of the anniversaries of some of the incredible finishes of Loyola Chicago, who obviously was a team that us here in Chicago rallied around just a couple years back in the tourney. It's the magical part of the tourney. And the NBA, don't get me wrong, give me a best of seven series against two talented teams that hate each other. Every time. I love best of seven NBA series. I can't get enough of them. It is like but nothing beats NBA playoffs. In my opinion, unless you're talking about overtime hockey with the Blackhawks involved, then maybe I'll give the edge to overtime playoff hockey. That also gives me heart attacks, though. So I don't know. I mean, I would be okay with the league just kind of maybe condensing the beginning of the playoffs and saying, all right, instead of best of seven right out of the gate, we're going to go best of five, maybe even best of three in the first round if they want to do that. But given how weird the season has been, like Luke was saying, maybe have a weird conclusion to it and do something completely different. And we saw them do that with the All-Star game this season with, you know, the Elam ending. And people had their skepticism about it, myself included, but it was awesome and everybody loved it. So maybe if they saw that success with changing up the All-Star game and trying to keep that fresh and do something new, they do something similar with the playoffs and people will like it. All right, this next one comes to us from Matt in Indy. Hey guys, read this article. It's about the firing of Doug Collins back in the day. Very similar themes here to Jim Boylan. No wonder they're butting heads. So the article, and we'll see if we can share this on our Locked On Bulls Twitter account, a link to it, is from the one and only legend, Sam Smith. And the date on the publish of this article from the Chicago Tribune is July 9, 1989. God bless the internet that this is accessible. So it's about the firing of Doug Collins, why Jerry Reinsdorf was feeling like he had reached the end of the road with Doug and that they had to do something drastic, which, of course, was eventually the ousting of Collins and replacing him with one of his lead assistants, a name we all know very well, Phil Jackson. So here's just one little excerpt of this column from Sam Smith, because this is the part where I was reading this and thinking, oh yeah, there's definitely some Jim Boylan kind of stuff here. Reinsdorf saw a driven, insecure Collins grasping desperately to succeed while fighting madly not to fail. He saw his coach missing sleep and meals and breaking down in his office over the pressures of the job. From what I've heard, that's a lot like Jim Boylan. Reinsdorf saw Collins' staff being splintered apart by his egoism. The top assistant, Phil Jackson, who will most likely be the Bulls' next coach, was given the silent treatment by Collins, and his venerable ace assistant, Tex Winter, was barred from practices for a time because he dared speak his opinion about Collins' coaching mistakes. What does that sound like? Does it sound like a very recent piece of reporting from our NBC Sports Chicago Bulls insider, Casey Johnson, in a recent mailbag that talked about the falling out between that very same Doug Collins, who is now a senior advisor to the Bulls front office, and Bulls head coach Jim Boylan? And did we hear that it was because certain people were voicing their opinions that perhaps were not taken kindly to by all, a.k.a., hey, Jim, this is what you're doing wrong. And then Jim said, screw you, I don't want you coming around my practices anymore. And Jim Boylan just denied that. He basically called that a false report in front of like the entire Bulls beat media scrum while Casey Johnson is standing right there in front of his face, calls Casey Johnson a liar for reporting this. Who do you believe? Do you believe the head coach who's failing, who has nothing but gimmicky sound bites after every stupid loss this season, where he loses with new creative ways and also the same head-palming ways? Do you believe that guy, or do you believe a guy who is known for his credibility on the Bulls beat for the last damn near 30 years? Because I'm going to go with that guy. So, Jim Boylan denying the whole falling out with him and Doug Collins, it's a joke. And obviously the falling out was because Doug Collins is not impressed with the job Jim Boylan has done and told him so in so many words. And Boylan took offense to it because Boylan's got an ego and Boylan is just coming apart at the seams because none of his players are listening to him anymore because he treats them like children. He throws them under the bus when they lose because of his coaching mistakes. It's all right there in front of you. It's as plain as day. So this was a very fascinating article, and it's so funny that this was written in 1989 about Bulls head coach Doug Collins. Fast forward to present day, and Doug Collins is still somehow involved in drama about a Bulls head coach and their power trip as they are failing. Interesting, interesting stuff. Like I said, this is a fascinating read, so I will see if I can share this from our Locked On Bulls Twitter account because it is awesome, and y'all should read it. Thank you to Matt and Indy for bringing this to our attention. Man, that is some good stuff. Next text comes to us from Kyle in Dayton, Ohio, sharing one of his memories where he remembered exactly where he was, just like Jordan and I were talking about. I remember exactly where I was when I heard the MJ I'm back news in the spring of 1995. So Kyle says, I remember exactly when I found out about the Bulls trading Elton Brand for Tyson Chandler. How about that? We got two Elton Brand mentions on today's episode. I'm currently 29, so I was probably about 12 when this happened. I had just caught the tail end of the championship years, and I was a dedicated fan to the post-Jordan era Bulls. Ron Artest was my favorite player. I don't blame you. He was a great one. And I always thought him and Elton Brand would save the Bulls. I was so furious. I just remember watching that on the news. Funny how it turned out that though Tyson Chandler ended up being one of my all-time favorite Bulls. Thank you guys for keeping the content coming. I drive about 600 miles a week for work. I work for Coca-Cola, so I'm out here with the crazies. And I really enjoy listening to your guys' podcast. Well, we appreciate that, Kyle. We are here for you and everybody else out there who is still on the road working, commuting to and from work. If you are not working from home because you are essential to the comings and goings of keeping our society alive right now, we very much appreciate you, and we are here for you to keep you entertained. I'm with you, man. Like, I did not like the Elton Brand Tyson Chandler trade when it happened. Like, the idea of the Twin Towers with Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry. I saw Elton Brand in his rookie year as a Bull, and I was like, oh, yeah, this amazing kid from Duke, a blue-chip program who was a star in college at the biggest college program. And, gee, I wonder, after a rookie of the year caliber season, a 20-10 guy, right, like fresh into the league, I saw the sky's the limit for Elton Brand. And so, you know, trading him for a couple of high school prospects made absolutely no sense to me. And I didn't like it at the time. And obviously, the baby Bulls with Tyson and Eddie didn't work out. Tyson Chandler went on to have a great career. And we all know, unfortunately and sadly, the health complications that cut Eddie Curry's career short. Tyson Chandler went on to win a ring with Dallas in 2011 when they beat the Heatles. And that was just one of many stops where he has been a valued veteran in this league. Still is. And Elton Brand, to his credit, had a very successful career, too. Never was on, like, really good, like, deep playoff run kind of teams. Made the playoffs a couple of years. Was on, you know, some decent Sixers teams, a couple of decent Clippers teams. But at the time, I saw Elton Brand as the centerpiece of a Bulls rebuild that might go somewhere. And maybe part of that was because, you know, like our listener Kyle, I was a kid who grew up on the 90s Bulls, certainly enjoyed the second three-peat in the late 90s and was obsessed and wanted to see my team bounce back as quickly as possible. Obviously, rebuilds after dynasties take time. But I thought that they had a winner when they got Elton Brand. You know, obviously, number one overall pick, you know, 1 year removed from the dynasty. And I loved what I saw from him in his young career in a Bulls uniform. So that was certainly a jarring one. I couldn't believe it when it happened. And I didn't like it when it happened. But fortunately, for the most part, you know, both guys went on to have successful careers in the NBA. And neither one was involved in the next relevant Bulls team, pretty much. But thanks for checking in, Kyle. And good luck to you out there on the roads. Stay safe and hope you, you know, find other podcasts and other audiobooks to ease the boredom while you're out there working all those long hours on the road. Hey, try Blinkist while you're at it if you ever get sick of listening to me and Jordan. All right, one more text and then we'll get out of here for the day. This one comes to us from Josh in the 815. What's up, guys? Is there any fear the big front office changes won't occur because of the coronavirus in the now shortened season? I obviously this thought has occurred to me that for all of the failures of this Bulls organization this season, many of them would be glossed over or just kind of forgotten because of how crazily this season ended. And the fact that the COVID-19 scare and its effect on the world of sports is the biggest and in some ways the only headline of this season. Even if, as we were talking about earlier, they do eventually crown an NBA champion with some kind of asterisk next to it, depending on how this season comes back and winds it down. We talked about that on last week's episode of the Outsiders podcast, actually. So go back and listen to that conversation if you haven't already. But it is a great concern of mine that certain people who should be held accountable for the Bulls failing this season will not be, because we heard John Paxson say on trade deadline day, we didn't make any moves because we're still evaluating and we still have to see what we have. And a lot of Bulls fans scoffed at that because it's like, all right, well, yeah, you were missing some key guys leading up to that deadline day. Yeah, you had Chris Dunn going down. You had with the MCL, Wendell Carter was hurt. Lowry was hurt. So like, yeah, and they hadn't gotten Otto back yet. So yeah, you were missing some pieces right then and there. But outside of Otto going down after the ninth game of the season, you had a substantially healthy roster, all things considered, including all of your what were supposed to be core pieces of Lowry and Wendell and Zach and Kobe. And what happened? Were you a team like well under 500, 10 games under 500, pretty much most of the entire 42 first games of the season? So to say that you still need to evaluate and see what you have, well, in some ways, you need to keep evaluating your young talent, because the coach you chose to keep around and extend that coach's contract and invest all of your confidence in that coach's abilities to build and develop these young players, he put them all at a disadvantage out of the gate and insisted upon playing a system that was completely detached from the personnel he had to work with. If one player regressed this past season, then you could say it's on that one player. But several players regressed and looked worse than they did last year. And how does that not point directly to your coaching staff? So, to me, if the Bulls do not end up finishing this regular season and the remaining 17, I believe, games that are left on the schedule, you better believe we're going to hear some version of, well, it really hurt us that we didn't get those last 17 games when we were going to get some healthy players back to so that we could really evaluate. You know that we're going to hear some version of that speech from John Paxson. Well, when Derrick Rose got hurt, it really blah, 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 blah. Insert shotgun into mouth now. We know we're going to hear some version of that regarding if the Bulls miss out on these last 17 games. Because that's what he told us halfway through a just complete disaster of a season. We got to get guys back to see what we have. Dude, you had most of your guys and you sucked. So do I worry that this coronavirus excuse will be the latest in a long line of excuses that the front office have used to say we take full accountability and responsibility and then proceed to take no responsibility and proceed to not be held accountable by the Reinsdorfs. Yeah, it's a concern of mine. But I do believe that this season was supposed to, by all accounts, in the eyes of Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf, be the season where they started to see that progress, the season where it started to be put together. They anticipated the first season and probably first two seasons of this post-Jimmy rebuild to be tough. And they certainly anticipate a lottery season in year one. And if we're being honest, they probably anticipated a lottery season in year two. But not in year three. They were talking playoffs on media day, and they fell well short of that. And everything we heard right around All-Star Weekend was the Chicago Bulls are a laughingstock in the NBA, as the entire NBA and all of its various media and cohorts descend upon the city of Chicago. And the Bulls are going to use that week of everyone in the NBA being here in Chicago to expand their search for a fresh voice in their front office. And I believe that we heard those reports for a reason. And I believe that those searches are ongoing, and that the Bulls very much plan to do some kind of shakeup of their front office structure this offseason. Coronavirus be damned. That will happen. The extent to which that will happen, whether or not that new person is actually given full autonomy, whether or not John Paxson and Gar Forman are actually, rightfully, finally kicked to the fucking curb where they belong instead of just reassigned with different flowery titles. Oh, our new special advisor to our scouting department, Gar Forman, our new special advisor to shining Jerry Reinsdorf shoes, John Paxson. Wonder what kind of salary comes with that title. I don't know and I don't care. All I care about is actual change to the way that this organization builds their basketball team. And my hope is that fresh voice still happens. Now, the timeline might get a little wonky because of this coronavirus thing and the fact that we don't know if and when the NBA season is going to come back. But as I was saying, I can't remember if it was on a recent episode of this podcast or the Bulls Outsiders podcast, they have no excuse to not spend all of their free time right now on that search. And yeah, social distancing, et cetera, et cetera. But if the Bulls, and namely Michael Reinsdorf, because nobody wants John Paxson involved in this hiring process, because that would really hurt this hiring process. If Michael Reinsdorf is not doing all due diligence and prepping for this front office hiring search in every single which way he can to be as prepared as possible for when he can actually get some of these people, some of these candidates in a room and talk to them, then what the hell is he doing with his time right now? You know, I don't, probably making calls to some disgruntled season ticket holders. Please hang in there. Please keep giving us your money. I promise it'll get better. Maybe stop calling season ticket holders and start figuring out how the hell you're going to fix your organization that is broken right now. The only way you're going to do that is to actually give power to a fresh voice who knows a hell of a lot more about basketball than you do and a hell of a lot more about modern 2020 NBA basketball than John Paxson and Gar Forman do. So that is my hope. Do I worry that that won't happen, as Josh asked? Yes. Every second of every day. Because, as I've said a million times, when it comes to Bulls fans and their cry for change with this organization and its front office structure, I'll believe it when I see it. That's it for today. Thank you to everybody who checked in on that text voicemail line and on Facebook. Keep those questions and thoughts coming about all things Bulls and NBA, because we've got five shows a week, and we need your questions and your comments to keep that content coming. 331-979-1369 is that text and voicemail line. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Shoot us an email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. And, of course, you can always follow us on Twitter. I'm at Bulls_Peck. Jordan is at Jordan C. Malley, and we are at Locked On Bulls. So, for my partner, Jordan Malley, who hopefully we will have back in the fold tomorrow, Matt Peck saying thanks so much for listening, Bulls Nation. See you, Red. Be good. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com